Welcome to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Driven to Business is a business forum program that focuses on success principles in business. And now, it's time for Driven to Business.
Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Driven to Business. We're being streamed live even as we speak on biz1190.com, and today's program will be podcast on eddiemayfield.com and on iTunes. We're glad you're here. Here on Driven to Business, we like to talk about businesses. I am particularly and always interested in talking with people that have founded businesses because they're sort of kindred spirits with me. Our guest today is Siobhan Johnson, and Siobhan is the founder of a company here in Atlanta called Good Karma Vegan Catering. I have to be careful I say that correctly and not the wrong way. Siobhan, welcome to Driven to Business.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Siobhan, I'm always fascinated, as I said, to talk to people that have started businesses. And I want to talk to you at some length about not only your business, but about the whole vegan, perhaps, lifestyle you might want to talk about and so forth. But before that, I'm always sort of interested in where people come from. So tell me about your background. How did you get involved in all this?
Well, basically, I was born in Hawaii, raised in New York. I moved to Atlanta in 2005, and that's when I became a pescatarian. After watching a few PETA videos, I decided I just didn't like to, just didn't want to consume meat anymore. When I came here, I went to college just at Southern Poly, and I graduated with a biology degree in 2012.
Right.
I interned at the aquarium, which is where I decided I wanted to do more environmental research. I've always been really big into like the environment, animals, and sustainability, and trying to help the environment out.
Right.
And then when I started researching different companies to work for, I actually decided I didn't want to do that anymore because I realized that a lot of them were governmentally ran, and I didn't agree with a lot of the different things that the government stood for when it came to certain research things. And so that's when I decided I was going to try corporate out. I became a coordinator for a consulting firm, and due to a lot of let goes, my position was eliminated.
Right.
But they needed help in HR, so then they kind of sort of moved me over to HR, but it was just a temporary position. So then I guess that's when I decided, with everything being kind of shaky and having to depend on other companies, like how well they do depends on how well I do as an individual, I decided that why not take the passion of me being a vegan and my love for cooking and everyone's love for my cooking and make it my career.
I think everyone's love for your cooking is sort of a big deal there. I like to cook too, but I don't think I have the other part of that. There's not too many people passionate about eating it after I do it. I admire anybody that starts a business, as I said, and I particularly, I'm always interested in people that have a passion and they sort of turn their passion into a career, and you do find that a lot. We've had several people on the program here. One of them, a very good friend of mine that had a passion for racing cars, and he and his brothers, when they were very young, started a race car business, which grew into a very large national supplier of parts and materials to the racing industry. So, I mean, you do find, and I think it's that sort of fire in the belly, that sort of a passion of doing it that kind of drives you through the hard parts of it. Now, in the vegan world, I'm sure you know this without me saying it to you, not everyone is a vegan, as you might. Now, maybe you're trying to turn us all that way, but not everyone is. And so when you get into a business like that, you are, by definition, into a niche business. Now, I'm also in a niche business. The business that I'm in, we advertise here on Biz 1190 and on some other stations and so forth, and all through the internet, spend a lot of money on that kind of advertising. And the average person walking the street, when I tell them what we do, has no idea what we do. You know, we're in the variable frequency drive business. Well, most people have never heard of those. And I always sort of come back and say, well, then you're not a prospect. If you don't know what they are, you're not going to buy one. You're not a prospect. But they are used very widely. So I'm kind of into this niche marketing. You know, the good thing about that is you can define your market rather carefully. But let me just ask you this, as far as the way you've thought this through a little bit. Are you primarily planning to market your catering business to people that are already in this lifestyle, or are you more of a sort of evangelist trying to get people into the lifestyle that, that would not normally consider that?
Well, I think that I want to cater to both. I know me being a vegan in Atlanta, it's pretty hard, especially working in Buckhead or Midtown. They don't have, you don't have a lot of vegan options there. Like, you can go to certain establishments and take out all of the extra stuff and maybe get the basis of what the meal would have been without all the extra stuff. But I want to really be able to give vegans options that maybe they don't usually get. Like, this past week, I got a request for bacon macaroni and cheese, and the person loved it. And it's like, I love experiments, and I love people giving me suggestions and things like that. But also, I want to do different events and educate people that being a vegan isn't eating salad. So even if you like meat, there's a lot of people, like a lot of people that have become friends of mine and associates and things like that. They taste my food and they realize that it's not what it they thought it was.
You told me in an email, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you said this in an email, that you don't even like salad.
I don't like salad. I don't like cold food.
That is so strange to hear someone who's a vegan.
And
say
a lot
that.
Of people say that because when I go to places, I usually never go to events hungry or anything like that because usually they don't have anything that I can eat. So then they'll always offer me a salad. I'm like, no, it's okay because I already ate, and salads just aren't my thing.
you know, some a couple of my daughters a couple of years ago, not the full vegan route, but they they're adult ladies now, so they nag me about as much as my wife does about things. So they decided I was eating too much meat. So they next thing I know, I'm and so we all decided to do it together for 60 days. I forget what the time period was, where we pretty much swore off meat. That was not as unpleasant of an experience as I thought it was going to be, quite frankly. And one thing I sort of learned through that is that, even going somewhere like Subway or something like that, and you go there and get a sandwich, and if you just get the veggie part of the sandwich, I actually decided, as long as I got it crunchy and with some spice in there, I liked it. Mm-hmm. And it was a bit of an education for me. But any idea, I had always thought that if you don't eat meat, you have no way of having real protein. That was another thing I always thought about. Mm-hmm. And they told us that was wrong, so they're right.
Yes, that's very wrong. And there's a lot of vegetables, there's beans, there's just a variety of things. And I think it's also a misconception about how much protein we need to consume, because a lot of the standards go off of people actually working out and doing physical labor from back in the day, as opposed to now when a lot of people have office jobs and they're sitting around all day.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what I'm afraid of is Americans. A lot of us, we have to, I'm a lot older than you, but I'm at an age where I have to make myself, I climb up Stone Mountain here in Atlanta every morning, most mornings. And that's what I do, because otherwise I wouldn't have a lot of exercise except walking from the car to an office back and forth and so forth and so on. And so I've determined we have to, as an American, actually not as an American so much, it's just as an aging American, I have to make a point to get some exercise into my lifestyle. Now, you've already kind of answered this, but right here in Atlanta, I sort of Googled, before we came on the air, I sort of Googled around to see vegan businesses here in Atlanta. I came up with a bunch of them in New York and Los Angeles and Chicago. So you may have found, I don't know this, I mean, and I'm not criticizing anybody that is in the business that doesn't show up on Google, but a quick search of Google does not uncover a lot of people. You seem to have a little niche here that you might be able to capitalize on.
Yes, and another thing is even the vegan places that they do have here, they're specific types of food. So it'll be Chinese food. It would be like American food, or it'll be like a deli. It's something that they're very specific, since my menu changes weekly, and I also am open to suggestions and different things that people may want to try. It's I offer a more wider variety than most places do.
Now, I'm assuming, if I were serving as your business coach, and we're determining how to go market, I would, and we're going to buy, let's say, some email list or something like that, or whatever, to go market to. I think I would probably tell you, let's don't buy the Georgia Cattlemen's Association mailing list. I don't think that'd be a great market for you. But how do you, just in a general sense, how do you plan to find the people that are either interested or could be persuaded to be interested in your product?
Well, so far my ideas have been meetup groups.
Right.
Have been becoming really big nowadays, and so I go to different meetup groups, whether it's for volunteering, it could be for vegans, it could be like a women's meetup group. There's different people that have different events, and everybody loves food. So it's like, even if I'm like, okay, can I just have a vegan table there? You can just set up a booth, tastings, and I can go online and you can look up Atlanta events, upcoming events, and then you can just call and just see what type of things can you offer to that event, just to get different type of clients, the clients that are already vegans and the clients that may not already be vegans.
That's a very, very smart way of doing it. I wouldn't have thought of that. I do see these meetup, I like bluegrass music, so I'm always looking for that just to see where's a bluegrass event to go and take part of. You know, the idea, I think, we've talked on a program with a lot of folks before about the evolution of selling, how selling things has changed. You know, the idea is that we all like to buy, but none of us want to be sold anything. You know, you want to buy it, but you don't want to be sold it. You want to make that decision yourself. So you know, we get into a lot of indirect type selling, and that's basically what you're talking about when you're setting a table up at an event. It's not a vegan event. It's just a whatever event, and you have a table there, and people go, it's pretty good, and you get to explain. And then perhaps, you know, build a client base. I think that's a brilliant way.
Yeah, because that's definitely me. I don't like being sold things. And that's why once a month I actually offer a taster. So it's like one of those things where you could try four different things for a discounted price. Because it's not like I know the product is good and I know that you would like it. It's just more so you being convinced that you don't need the meat in it.
You know, we got a break here real quick. I was going to ask you, we own, I don't know if you know this, but our company, EMA Inc., we own a business up in upstate New York. They were still getting snow this week up there. You know, early, it's just insane. So I think you're much better moving down here to the south to do a business just based on that. You're listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We're here every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock right here on Atlanta's Biz 1190. You're talking with Siobhan Johnson of the Good Karma Vegan Catering. Be right back. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Glad you're here. We're talking with Siobhan Johnson, the founder of Good Karma Vegan Catering. And Siobhan, I meant to ask you this in the first segment. I didn't. Tell us how people can get a hold of you. I should have already done that.
Oh, well, I have a Facebook page, and it's at Good Karma Vegan Catering. And I also have an email address, which is goodkarmavegancatering@gmail.com. And also the phone number to call to get on the email list or just to get more information is 404-500-9154.
And by the way, links to Siobhan and her business will be on eddiemayfield.com. Just go there, click on the blog page and look at it. And we will also be tweeting that out during the broadcast here. So check Twitter at Biz1190. You know, I started a business, I was telling you in the break, I started a business about 25 years ago out of my house. So I may be a little bit rusty at the idea of a startup business, but I did go through that. Now, that was, you know, 20-something years ago. We're in our 25th year here now. And I tell people often it was exciting and terrifying at the same time. because by the time I did this, we had a family and children. So it was, you know, it was like, I can't fall too far behind the ball here. We're being into big trouble. You've already mentioned the, which I think is brilliant, setting, you know, doing the meetings and so forth and things of that sort. Do you envision yourself doing the other marketing things such as mass emailing or advertising or things of that sort, or to buzz up some word of mouth kind of things?
I use social media. A lot. I've been actually researching different types of marketing. There's a lot of scams out there as far as marketing goes.
Yes.
So I've really just been trying to be really careful about it. I wanted to start off, I guess, not slow, but I just wanted to just do as much as I could myself right. without bringing anyone else in to see how much I could possibly get done. Like I said, I would go on different event sites, and there's different places like Whole Foods holds events where you can actually bring your personal things, and they have like in a market outside. So right. like the Whole Foods on Pines.
Right.
Like I plan on being in their market on April 8th.
Right.
And then I'll give tastings and I'll sell stuff on the spot there. I'll also take orders. And there's other like vegan events. There's vegan like there's like different conventions and everything like right. that. And I've gotten calls to be to actually participate in a raw vegan event that's coming up.
A raw vegan event.
Yes, which means that all the meals that are provided have to be raw.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. So I plan
I guess that's okay with vegetables. Sounds all right. I get raw vegetables, you know.
Yeah.
Sounds okay.
But it's actually more complex, and you can make a lot of things with right. raw things. You just right. don't think about it, but you really can.
I think I started making a face, and she saw me. I didn't mean to do that. careful about that. You know, you were talking about social media a bit. Isaac, our producer here, has helped me. We've been doing in our company pay-per-click advertising for a long, long time now, and that's a big deal. You know, we do a fair amount of business through our website and so forth, and then less so on Facebook. But again, here's where I may be wrong about this, but I've kind of come down to where. In your business, I think especially, which is consumer-driven type business. Now, our clients are industrial plants, for instance, and things like that. Facebook and all doesn't seem to work as well for that as it does for consumer type events. Now, at our church, I've helped promote several concerts and events and so forth. And to do that, Facebook seems to really work well. Even buying ads on Facebook, you know, where the pay-per-click ads you can buy on Facebook seem to work quite well for us in that regard. And then Isaac here has sort of schooled me on the using Twitter here a little bit, which I thought I already knew how to do, but he's really shown me several things about that. And that's an evolving thing. That's the thing about social media, is what was true last year isn't necessarily true this year. You got to stay on top of that because the trends in it change. But it's not you can't ignore it
mm-hmm.
in our society. So it's certainly, I think, particularly for someone like you that's, you're going to kind of, my guess is a lot of your customers and clientele are going to be sort of, in many cases, younger people that are probably really more geared to that environment. I would think that's somewhere you've really got to learn how to shine is in that social media area. I think you got a lot of possibilities in that for getting a lot of things. You know, we already talked this a little bit, but you talked about growing slowly. Or at least under control, which is a great idea. I can tell you some stories about some things that we kind of got that out of control a couple of times and sort of outgrew ourselves. But do you plan on hiring right away in the coming, let's say, 2 years? Do you plan on having employees, or do you still want to keep it as a one person operation for a while?
Well, when it comes to events, right. if the event calls for more staff, then
right.
then I don't mind. I would need to hire employees, but when it comes to the actual cooking, I just can't see myself right now giving away any type of
right.
control in that area.
Right. Well, you know, if you really get to be giant, Siobhan, you're going to have to at some point.
I'm coming to that realization, but as of right now, it's like I can't imagine. Just it's like I have such a control. Like I want everything to be perfect, and I wouldn't want someone else to mess it up and me just forget to say something specific
right.
because it's second nature to me, and everybody else doing it may not be second nature. Like I might have to tell them something that I didn't think I had to tell them. Like I thought it would be common sense, and it's not common sense
right.
to everyone.
You know that what you're describing there though is the exact problem every entrepreneur faces as they grow. That every entrepreneur faces this. You know, I started out as a one man show too. It's hard as you grow, and I'm hoping you have every growth and you get to be giants, what I hope happens to you. And what you'll find, though, is that as you do grow there and you do have to turn loose of things, many of us, because a lot of these companies were sort of our babies, we birthed them, and we don't like turning loose of anything, but you know, you have to sort of steel yourself into doing that at some point. And the trick is to be sure, I think, is you're hiring the right, that you're surrounding yourself with the right people,
mm-hmm.
whether you begin to feel comfortable with them. And although they may not do it exactly like you do it, they've got the same vision. You know, you've been able to share a vision with them. And I think that becomes a great deal. The other thing I'm pretty impressed already with you is the idea, a lot of people do not think about the idea of the indirect selling side of it. They try to go out, gin up business, and but you know, you're doing a smart thing with the idea of going to these events and basically getting some buzz started about yourself and the events, because that's doing things other people aren't doing. Mm-hmm. That do that. That's a brilliant way of doing that. The feedback you're getting when let's say somebody like me that walks up and, you know, not opposed to eating vegan food, but not sold on it either. I mean, I just become, yeah, let's try this. And what kind of feedback do you get?
Well, people love my food, so they really do. And then a lot of people tell me that they don't even feel like it's missing anything.
Right.
I don't do a lot of times I don't put tofu or I don't put meat substitutes in it. So that's right. Even another thing. A lot of people expect me to substitute the meat with something. There's no substitute. It's just that I really feel like the food is just that good
right. That
you don't feel like you're missing anything. A lot of people are huge meat eaters, and even after they eat my food for a little bit, they decide that they don't really need it as much as possible. Then I also cater to a few people that have like allergies, like wheat
right. Allergies. Right.
I try to put like two or three meals in my menu a week that doesn't have any wheat in it. And so it's like, because there's a lot of vegans that are that can't have wheat as well.
You're talking about gluten
free
type stuff.
Yes.
That is I'm becoming more and more aware of, and I don't know the reasons for it exactly, but I don't know if this has always been this way and we ignored it or mm-hmm. if something has happened recently. I don't really know the answer to that. Maybe you do, but you know, there are a lot of people now. You do hear a lot of the gluten free, and people say, I just have to, you know, if even eating pizza, it's got to be gluten free. I've got to.
Yeah. A lot of things is that I think it comes, it falls under two categories. Either you've been living with it your whole life that you don't actually see the issue, but it's like some people that I did a 21 day fast because my doctor said I had acid reflux, and
right. It
was just. It was so many things going on. They were trying to give me all these medicines, and I didn't want to take it. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to take a fast, and I'm going to gradually introduce foods back into my diet. And then I just started not eating so much processed foods, and I never had the issue again.
That's a great story. I'll talk to you more about that after the break. You're listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We're talking with Siobhan Johnson of Good Karma Vegan Catering, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. I want to remind you that we're streaming live on biz1190.com and that today's program will be podcast on eddiemayfield.com and on iTunes. We're talking with Siobhan Johnson, the owner and the founder of Good Karma Vegan Catering. I said vegan before before the break, and she was about to correct me, but then we ran right out of time there. So anyway, I apologize again for that, Siobhan. You know, you've already sort of talked a little bit about this, but I just thought I'd explore this with you. You know, the vegan lifestyle is a little more than for a lot of people that I know that are vegans. That it's a little more than just a choice of what to eat. I mean, it sort of defines a philosophy. And you know, here's how I sort of put it: as a Christian businessman, there are things that I won't do. You know, that I sometimes I've been asked to do in the past, you know, like I don't take clients to strip clubs and things like that. And a lot of people in our business do, but I don't. And so talk to me a little bit about that perhaps, and I'm not suggesting you're talking about a strip club. I'm just saying that along those lines, talk to us about what being in that sense, what being a vegan is.
Well, You're just asking exactly what.
Yeah. And the whole philosophy of it, the philosophy of it. I mean,
the background of why I choose to be a vegan.
Right.
Just to make a really long years of research down to something short. I learned through a lot of research that viruses, pathogens, and different types of things that attack your body and diseases they actually thrive in an acidic body.
Okay.
And what makes your body acidic is meat, caffeine, and alcohol. So those are the top three things, and meat also includes dairy.
Okay.
So those are the top three things that make your body acidic. If you eat as many fruits and vegetables as possible, and grains are like on the borderline, but if you eat as much fruits and vegetables as possible, then that makes your body as alkaline as possible. So you won't get sick. You won't get you won't have diseases and things like that. There are places like there's actually a village in Honduras that if you go there, apparently they feed you strictly an alkaline diet, and it supposedly it can cure anything being there. So that's where my background came from, being so strong about it and just knowing what you put into your body. And just I watched a lot of PETA videos to see the treatment of animals. And I'm like, even if with me, even when I show the videos to some people, even if you don't care about animals, you have no remorse or at all whatsoever. But the just seeing how what your food used to look like before it got into your plate is a big enough turn off for anybody, just to see how it's processed and the reality of it. A lot of people, they don't even want to finish watching the video, but it's like being ignorant to what you're actually consuming doesn't mean you're not consuming it.
Right. You know, it's what you're talking. I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I really do like fruits particularly, but, you know, but in order to be alcohol, fruits are acidic, so your body must do something to them to make them not acidic. You know, citric acid, it must do something to it.
Yeah, well, technically in your body, like, so the fruit may be acidic if you put it on, like, a different scale, but, like, in your body,
right,
the way it's processed, it would be processed as alkaline.
Right. Let's talk again about marketing a little bit, a niche marketing. You know, the advantage to having to being marketing in a niche, and it's what our company does too, the same. The advantage of it is it's a little easier to, you're not like Walmart, like everybody's not a, you know, not everybody's a customer. So you can kind of hone in. And even honestly, if you look at how Walmart markets, they don't market like that either. They find specific little things, and their customers have followed demographic as well. Mm-hmm. Have you thought this through, or is there a demographic that's sort of probably going to be your customers? Is it going to be younger people, you think, maybe, or not? Is that?
I don't know if it's going to be a certain age range particularly. I know that it's funny because in Atlanta, certain areas tend to have more vegans living there.
Yeah, I would think
than
that's true.
Other, it's yeah. really weird. So it's like if you go down to Little Five Points or Cabbage Town,
right,
those areas. But like people in Buckhead, they don't necessarily, there's more non-vegans in Buckhead compared to other areas. So I think the area would be more, would have a bigger concentration of vegans, but also the bigger concentration of vegans are in Little Five Points, but you walk like 10 blocks and you might cross two or three vegan restaurants in Little Five Points. So it's like the demand is there and then they have the restaurants there. But since I do deliveries in four different areas,
right,
then it's more so I'm trying to reach out to people that already have the facilities that have vegan options and also places that don't have the, like Marietta is a place that does not, like Cobb County does not have vegan options.
I don't think there's too many in Gwinnett where I live. Yeah. I mean, maybe there are. You do find though, even if you go into a sandwich place, for instance, you know, and they have soup or something, they may say on the menu, it'll say, you know, we've got chicken noodle soup and we've got tomato bisque, and it'll say out next to the tomato bisque or next to the whatever tomato whatever soup, it'll say vegetarian. In your definition, is there a difference between vegan and vegetarian or
yes, well, vegan so being a vegan means that there's no animal byproducts at all.
Okay,
so they wouldn't have anything, even something as simple as like gelatin is made from an animal,
right
whey is milk in it, so anything that has any, like most packaged foods, and right, that steers you away from using packaged foods or something that's pre-made, is because a lot of times it has milk or eggs in it.
Right.
Some breads have eggs, and there's different things that have vegan, like things that vegans don't eat, as far as like milk, eggs, or any type of byproducts, or if it's cooked. Because vegetarians sometimes they'll eat something that was actually cooked with the meat if the meat's not in it.
Okay, I got you. But if you're generally speaking, if you're in a you know, I'm talking like a Jason's Deli, or a fairly well-known, or McAllister's or something like that, and they say it's vegetarian. Would you take, as a vegan, would you take that as being vegetarian, or would you probably, or you ask a bunch of questions about it?
Oh, I ask a bunch of questions.
Okay.
Because it being vegetarian, it can still, most of the time, it's cooked with butter.
Okay.
Butter's like one of the biggest things that you're like, is it cooked with butter? And then you can just ask them, can you make it with olive oil instead?
Okay. See, I didn't actually know that. Because I always thought I'm doing really good and I eat vegetarian. Yeah. Better than any other way, I guess, than to get it out of there. You know, again, I'm in a business, as I've mentioned to you, that very few people know even what we do unless I stop and tell them. And you're, it's not quite the same. I think people, when you tell them that you're a vegan catering business, I think they have some idea of what you do, although maybe not entirely. They probably, mm-hmm. like you said, we were laughing about earlier, they probably think you serve a lot of salads, like, mm-hmm. oh, you're a salad bar. I mean, I think that's a natural thing people think, well, vegan, that's salads. You know, because mm-hmm. that's all most people really eat, as far, you know, when they're eating a salad bar, generally, and really, I'm just sitting there thinking out loud, well, you talk, you know, even when we go to a salad bar, most of the time, there's cheese on that salad mm-hmm. bar, and
the dressing is made out of, has eggs or milk in
right.
it.
Right, and so I guess even at that point, I'd be scared about dealing with you. I think I'd be in some trouble. But you know, when you do tell people they ask what business you're in, you say I'm in the catering business. There are certain expectations, and they expect you to do certain things. And I think in your business, you're going to have to get buzz going word of mouth. We've already talked about you're doing that. Pretty well. How do you see yourself, like, say, in 2 years? What do you see your business doing in 2 years?
In 2 years?
Yeah.
Honestly,
that's a hard question. I know it's a hard question.
It is. It's a little difficult. But yeah. Honestly, within the next year, I plan on doing as much as I can in Atlanta. But my goal is to actually move from city to city doing vegan catering. So my next place that I would actually want to live is either Austin, Texas, or going back to Hawaii,
right,
and doing the vegan catering there.
But would you leave like a satellite here? Is that the plan?
After a year, I think I would have to make that decision. I'm not sure.
Okay, all right.
But I would still come back around to Atlanta.
Okay.
It's just I plan on doing maybe a year or two in each city, just because I want to travel. I still want to make money. I want to do things independently, but
right.
I don't want to stay stationary anymore.
When you say catering, I mean, are you orienting toward, let's say I'm holding a corporate event of some kind, I'm holding a sales meeting or something, mm-hmm. you know, is that the kind of catering you're looking to do? Or are you looking for a much larger event? Like, do you envision yourself catering, like, where there's 1,000 people there, or where there's 15 people there, or something in between?
I'm not against doing something bigger, but honestly, I think I would feel more comfortable doing smaller events, like corporate events, because I want it to be more intimate. I want to be able to be
right.
really hands-on, and to be able to be there, and just in case anyone has questions,
right.
to be at all the events, to be able to basically be able to interact with everyone who's eating the food, to educate them about the food, because I'm pretty sure everyone there isn't going to be a vegan.
This may be leading right into that question, but so what you really enjoy, aside from cooking, you enjoy the interaction with people that are eating your food. I mean, you like that. That's a big
to be able to, and plus it's the education part, because a lot of people, I feel like they make decisions on the way that they were raised, and a lot of people just don't go out and just decide to go against the grain and just try to do something different that they weren't raised on, because they feel like, well, I'm 40 years old, I've been eating like this my whole life, and I'm fine. And it's like, well, the quality of life may be better if you were to change the way that you ate.
Right.
Because both of my parents, they're totally against the way that I eat.
I was going to ask you, yeah. you better sell your family on this deal.
They're not, it's not that they're against it. They just think that they like what they like,
right.
but both of my parents have health issues. So it's kind of sort of like, and my grandmother, she eats just like me, and my grandmother doesn't have any health issues.
Well, that's a pretty good selling point.
Yeah.
I got to admit that gets that done. You know, one of the things you're going to have to, I think, in the catering business, as I do in our business, you're going to have to get referrals. Are you got any plan for like getting, do you working that now? Do you got any active way of grabbing referrals off people?
I haven't came up with a total, like a set plan or anything
right.
like that. I do give a lot of deals when it comes to, you know, just buying. If you, the more you buy, the less you have to pay. when it comes to the meals. Because right now, as of right now, I'm more so doing meal planning.
Right.
So you can order for the entire week and things like that.
Oh, that, okay. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So right now, it's like it's more of a meal planning thing. And okay. then in between, I can do events. Because the meal planning gives me a lot of time to be able to do events during the week.
Right. You know, what I'm going to ask you about after the break is I'm giving a little bit of the visioning thing. But I'll talk to you a little bit about, not to be negative at all, but if things don't go the way you planned, have you worked through how you're going to handle that? Because that's something that just as a seeing people in business, I do always try to coach them about, because it's happened to me. It happens about everybody. You're going to hit a few walls here and there along the way. You're listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. One more segment to come with Siobhan Johnson and Good Karma Vegan Catering. Be right back. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We're glad you're here. We're talking with Siobhan. I almost said it wrong. Siobhan, the founder of Good Karma Vegan Catering. I have to say that so carefully every time because I'm a conscientious now about doing it. You know, I've never met anyone in any business, successful or otherwise, including myself, frankly, who at some point during the founding or the growth of that business didn't hit a couple of walls where I can remember about 3 years into our business, and we've been very, very successful as a business, but about 3 years into it, I remember laying in bed thinking, what in the world have I done? This is the worst thing I've ever been involved with in my life. I was really ready to quit. I honestly think when you read the reports of small business failures and so forth, I really think a big part of that is founder burnout. I just think you get it. You just have to do so many things. You're juggling 80 things in the air at once. All your attention is being sucked up with it. It just gets very old and tired. And I just wonder, have you thought about how you're going to motivate yourself when you hit the wall? Because I'll just about guarantee you will at some point. At some point, you're going to question the whole thing. Like, wait a minute.
Yeah. I've thought about it briefly, because I believe that your thoughts are a manifestation. And so it's one of those things that I believe that there will be more positive things that will come out of it, because I really have to keep telling myself, because I already get stressed out now because I'm such a perfectionist. So it's like, even like if the letters are wrong and I already printed out 200 of these things and then I have to reprint them, and it's just like, well, at least now you're a step closer. I guess during like research, even when I was a biology, during research, it's like you would spend months on working on something and then it was inconclusive, but you know that at least now you eliminated a way that it didn't work.
Right.
And so I would just try to, at least, no matter what happens, I'm going to try to take a lesson or something positive out of whatever the trial is or anything like that. So I feel like as long as you stay positive, like sometimes you might have to take a day to just like, I mean, let it all out and then just keep moving. You just can't stop. There's no option to stop.
Right. And I think knowing though, you know, we have a sort of a saying when we're negotiating a project or something in our company, and this is usually the truth. We'll tell ourselves, our team will tell ourselves, okay, now there's going to be a couple of things here that are going to seem like total deal breakers when they come up. So we know they're going to be there. We know there's going to look like some deal breakers. And so the trick is, don't get too upset when they happen and work through them. I mean, this is a little mental talk we have with ourselves, and it's usually always true. There's always something like, what? If somebody brings something up, you're like, are you kidding? We did not discuss this. You know, it's like, you know, part of a project. The other thing I do think about, there was a lady that I met up in North Georgia that was running. I used to go to a small restaurant up there for breakfast sometimes, and I got to know the owner. And this is up in North Georgia Mountains, a very quaint little area up there, and I got to know the owner, a lady there, and one day we were sitting there talking, and she just asked me, said she knew I owned a business, and she said, would you consider buying this restaurant? And I said, no, I've never considered buying a restaurant. And I said, but why would you sell it? You got this. She said, well, you know, my husband and I used to come up here on vacation, and said, I envisioned this little bed and breakfast situation here where we're going to, you know, have customers in. We're living in this beautiful little area up here, and it's a laid back, relaxed lifestyle, and we're going to run this restaurant. Well, they started the restaurant. What they didn't realize was how much work running a restaurant is. You're up at 5 in the morning, you know, to serve breakfast at 7, you're up at 5 or 4:30 in there doing it. And just all the hassle, and it was a, since it was a small restaurant, they really couldn't, it wasn't making enough money to hire many employees. So it was like, it, and it consumed them. She said, we can't take vacations. We can't take off. We can't do anything. She said, it absolutely has consumed us. Because I'm thinking, well, you've really sold me on the idea of buying it. I was like, yeah. But I do think I've run into that in various degrees with a lot of people in business, so where they haven't. I always tell a lot of people come to me with business ideas, and I'll say, you know, play the what if we're successful game in your mind. Just walk through a vision of what if I'm successful? What does that look like? And sometimes it's not what you wanted. And you, it's just a way to say, you know, I don't want to do that. Now that I think about it, I don't want to do that. And you sort of steer yourself a little bit back from that. I just encourage anybody in business to do that. You have a, I think you're a bubbly, great personality, and I think you probably have found, and you seem to have identified even the parts of town around here where you're going to find people that are very interested in this. And again, Googling it myself, there's not a lot of competition. I think you have a great business ahead of you here. You just kind of hang in there and do it.
Yeah, thank
you. It's going to be a lot of work.
Yes, I know.
great deal. Do you have, I mean, this is a question I like to ask everybody. Do you have fun doing this?
Yes. I actually have a lot of fun. And also, cooking is really therapeutic to me.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, like, if I'm really stressed, just to go home and cook, and it's like a creative thing. That's why in my actual logo, good, the O's are ENSOs, and that's the symbol for create.
Yeah.
So it's like I enjoy creating.
Right.
Things. And then I love it when other people enjoy the things that I create too.
You know, fun is to me a greatly undervalued motivator. We say in our company all the time. And you know, keep in mind we're a boring techno nerd company that most people don't even understand what we're saying when we say it. You know, if you're outside the business, but we still try to have a lot of fun at it, and you know, we have our own ridiculous inside jokes that nobody except us understands, but we think they're funny. So we do have a good time doing it. In about a minute here, has there been anybody in your life that's been real influential to you that, like, has helped define your leadership style and your drive and so forth?
I would say between my parents and my daughter.
Right.
My parents have, like, instilled, like, you can do anything. And, you know, growing up, your parents always say that. You're like, my parents, you're supposed to say that. So yeah. You're like, okay, of course you believe in me, but I don't, it's kind of sort of hard to believe in yourself.
Right.
But I had my daughter when I was young, and I had to go through college with her, and I had this crazy idea that I wanted to go to college away from my family. So we moved down here, and I went to college, and I worked a full-time job. I had
Southern Poly's a hard school.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And biology is a really hard major too.
Yeah.
So I went to school and I had her, and so basically I feel like my parents instilled these values in me and gave me the confidence to be able to do things and have the knowledge that I can do the things. And then my daughter is kind of sort of my test. She was one of the ones, but it's like your child is something that you can't give up on. It's not an option to give up on. You can give up on your business, you can give up on your job, you can give up on school, but it's like if you feel like you have something else to live for, then you realize how strong you can be, because you don't have the option to stop.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You can't, you know, we have children as well, and you don't resign from being a dad.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just it. Yeah. No matter how things go. Is there a business person that you either know or have read about or heard about that sort of inspires you a bit?
I don't know if I consider him to be, of course, in a sense, he's a business person, but Dr. Sabi, the village I was telling you about in Honduras, where he's big on educating people about alkaline diet, alkaline vegan diet. He has a lot of different educational things. He has seminars, and he has a village that you can go to that I actually plan on going to because he plans on closing it because he's getting really old,
right.
And he doesn't want to hand it over to anyone else. So, and you can stay there, and he basically shows you how you can live a peaceful life. There's no technology there. You go and you get steam baths in the morning, and it's like basically a spa type, just a tranquil place to live, but it's not a fancy place. Like the places look like hut type places.
Right.
It's not luxurious or anything, but people love going there.
I'm just, you know, you could sell that two ways. You can either sell it, people, you can either talk a lot of people, I really want to go here. And then, you know, I've been on a couple of mission trips into West Africa, and you know, I'll tell people about that, and they're like, I'm not going there. You know, because it's a little too simple for some folks. Siobhan, you've been a great guest. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
On the program. Very interesting business. I hope you just wish you the absolute best in it. And, you know, you're a driven person and a very smart person. You thought carefully through what you're doing, and I hope you have every success.
Thank you.
It is going. By the way, you will find links to Siobhan on eddiemayfield.com. There'll be links to her, and you can get a hold of her and let her come to one of your events and show you what the vegan, I say it right, catering does look like. You've been listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield, and we'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Visit next Saturday at 11 a.m. on Biz 1190 for more Driven to Business. To learn more about Driven to Business, visit eddiemayfield.com or call 770-448-4644.